What's going on, real ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Joss the Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude.
You are now tuned in to the RAP. If you're a real motherfucker, this the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. Woo. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattlesnake is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the real ass podcast is about to drop.
Woo. All right. What the fuck is up, people? Welcome to the real ass podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. Special thank you to both Jay Sheck and Cushion Pusher for what's going on with this. What are you guys doing? Guys?
He's fucking with the headphones. Stop. And he's blasting my head.
Stop touching the fucking... Shannon, fix the volume over there. I can't hear shit
now. We can't hear now.
He cut everything out. There we go, right there. Do not fucking touch anything ever again, Ian.
So loud.
Holy shit. No, you're individual. You have an individual volume.
I got it.
What the fuck is going on? That intro
was... Can we start over?
No, we don't start
the
over.
The intro is so good. I have no snare in my headphones.
You have no snare. All right, listen to me, guys. Welcome to the show. Real Ass Podcast, pre-tape on Sunday. Zach's the bane of my existence. I have to come down here, leave my son. For the next 2 months, I lose 2 hours per week with my son. So it is a total of 16 hours of my son's life that I'm missing to keep Zach Amico on the show.
Well,
it's worth it.
Hey, I only dedicated 2 days a week of 3 years of my life.
Are you going to show up to the custody hearings when he loses them?
He is actually might lose custody of me, too. So
right. Yeah. Him and B are going to start a podcast together, just trashing me.
That's so funny. Has your son met Zach? Does he see the reason that he doesn't get to see his dad?
Yeah, he knows what's up. My son's actually...
Can you imagine your dad picking Zach over you?
Why can't your
son...
My dad didn't.
Oh, God.
Why can't your son just come here and hang out in the living room?
I mean, he could technically, but look, he's fucking 4.5 years old. He doesn't have the attention span of like, oh, right. I'm going to just sit here and, guys, you go. I'll be cool in here. What's going to happen is 10 minutes in, he's going to be like, oh, dad, Spider-Man's on, dad.
Right.
And he's going to come over and I'm going to have to fucking, you know.
And then we're going
to
lose Lewis. He's going to be like, oh, shit, Spider-Man's on.
Why don't you just yell at Shannon and make her watch him?
Yeah, Shannon, what is more important?
Shannon, watch my kid.
Somebody switching the cameras or watching my kid? I don't know.
I'd be fine with watching your kid.
Would you rather watch my kid than produce the show? If it was the same amount of money?
No,
right? See, isn't that the proof is in the pudding that working at Gas Digital is better than child fucking enlightenment and the look of fucking the look of a child's fucking... The beauty of a child's spirit.
Yeah, you're really selling it, Lewis.
Shut the fuck up, Ian. Just shut the fuck up. It's a Sunday night. I don't podcast on Sunday nights. All right? That's not when you're getting the best out of me. I'm used to podcasting at Mondays at noon and Wednesdays at noon. Okay?
Wednesdays.
So what happened?
My favorite fast food restaurant.
I love their Frosties.
Wednesdays.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, how come you have to leave? Overeaters Anonymous meeting?
Job.
Fucking sucking dick.
Ooh.
Look, great show.
Production
show. Show me where.
Great show planned today. International superstar Zach Amico is here as always.
Bonjour.
Two amazing guests. Ian Finance joins the show once
again. What's up?
What
Hello.
Up, doggy? What up, doggy? Love the rings?
Love the rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking good, dude.
It turned out I have a turquoise for every year I've been sober.
Really?
Yep.
Are you 3 years sober?
Coming up on it, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There you go. So when I put this in your face, it's like a problem.
No. I'll never get mad at anyone for offering me drugs or booze because you're being polite.
Exactly. The intent is not to hurt you. My intent,
not at all.
But now that I know that, now my intent is to hurt you.
I knew it
like
would
when
be.
I dose your coffee, yes, you're not watching.
Yes, yes.
Would you count that as not being sober if somebody put acid in your coffee and then you tripped on acid for like 8 hours?
I'll trip every 6 to 10 months.
Oh, so you're
I'll
not sober.
Do like mushrooms or I haven't had booze in.
But you'll smoke pot. Or
I won't smoke pot.
I've smoked pot with you recently.
Long time ago.
Hmm.
Last year.
Also on the show.
That's what happens when you keep getting high, Lewis, is you have no memory of what's 3 years or recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like it was recently. I feel like it was like last summer at Skankfest.
Last summer, yeah. I haven't smoked since November 26th.
What did I tell you? There you go, Micah. That's what happens when you smoke pot, maybe. But when I smoke pot, I fucking, yeah. A-OK.
Good. Yeah.
Clearly. A-OK. Micah Fox from the Shame On podcast joins the show.
Thank Woo. You so much.
Back on the show for the first time in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, like 3 years.
You used to come on a lot, and then you ended up working at MTV or something or one of these other places. Ooh. You had like a fucking like a writing gig during the day, and
oh,
you just
yeah,
weren't able to do podcasts with us anymore.
Yeah, sorry. I would have ditched my job to do it. Fuck it.
See?
But yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to have you back. Shame On joins the network as well one more time. We're going to do it again. We're going to go. We're going to give it another shot.
Second time's a the charm.
We're hoping to get fired again for September 11th.
Why for September 11th?
So we can have a real show.
Wait, you're shaming September 11th?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's actually for September 11th.
Yeah.
September 11th is a Monday, but for that week, your episode should be the week before you shame the victims
the
of
survivors.
September 11th. No, the victims. Well,
the firefighters.
Nah, victims are cool. It's the survivors that suck.
Why do the survivors suck? Because like, they're coughing and suing the city?
Yeah, or they're just like, give me $1 million because my piece of shit husband used to like wreck the country. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You had it coming karmically.
You're the worst human. You're terrible.
They're bad people. I got to be
they're
honest with you.
They're not good.
But I like the show. Very entertaining. On the return episode, which you guys can go and check out. In fact, Shannon, pull up a clip. They just have
who'd
a clip
shame?
Up real quick.
We shamed cripples.
Comedian named Chris Crespo, was it?
I call him Cryptiple Cripple. Christopher Crespo.
Christopher Crespo, who is a comedian that has, like, little tiny arms. You see people, like, with arms that aren't fully developed sometimes?
Yeah.
And his, you know.
They're so soft.
He's like stubby
like,
lobster boy.
Yeah, yeah. They're mangled up and fucked up. And, yeah, these girls really, they didn't pull any punches. It was so fucking
well,
funny.
Well, if he wasn't gonna, we weren't.
Good. I mean, at one point, Karen arm wrestled him. It was ridiculous.
No.
Yes.
Well, she, no spoilers, but it was a close call.
It was it was pretty funny. Pull up this clip real quick. Oh, this is it right here.
Karen, he's going to rip your fucking arm off, and you're going to look just like him, and you guys are going to be like twinsies at the beach in Coney Island.
God, at least somebody will feel pity on me.
He's got to watch.
Well, right, Mark.
I have retard strength.
Get set. Go. Oh, my God. This is Karen.
I'm not even...
Karen, this is
Come
real
on,
embarrassing.
Karen.
How could Karen
like
even
a table
win,
read
though?
Karen's not trying.
Up to the ground.
No, Karen's not trying. Now you're trying.
Come on, Karen, get his nut to the ground. You can do it. I believe in you. Come on, Karen.
Oh, my God, he's beating me.
Karen.
He's beating me.
Karen, he's falling off the chair. I'm calling it. You, Karen, he won. Yeah. Karen, he won.
Man, beat woman.
Oh my God.
And no, you guys never made fun of his laugh either.
He knocked you out of the chair.
There was so much to make fun of.
It was like nerd laugh, and it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, I look right in his face, but then the one thing, you're like, you know what? Everyone, it's not like that's the elephant in the room. So that actually probably really would cut deep. Like, dude, your laugh fucking stinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I just think it's real sad to make fun of someone's laugh because it's like their one true expression of joy.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you should be upset even then.
All the bone from his missing arm went to his skull.
Yeah, big head.
Huge head.
Right.
Well, he's been opening doors with it his entire life. So you know how like when like martial artists will like slam their legs into trees and kick trees to give the bones more density? That's what's happened to his head. Because what happens is here's what happens though. Like literally martial artists look kick trees, right?
Yeah.
And the bones will happen, they'll start to break down a little bit, and the bones, they grow back stronger. So instead of it being like brittle and having like pores and porous, the pores kind of break down and they become very, very solid. So that's what I think is what happened with him. He hasn't been able to do anything. So all of the actions that he's had in his life has been him headbutting shit. And now he's got this very thick, dense head with very little pores.
Oh, first thing in the morning every day is to headbutt his alarm clock.
Like shit. Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Did you guys ask him how he washes his asshole?
Of course I did.
I didn't get to that part. I didn't. I watched probably the whole episode. I didn't hear you say that.
I asked him if he had one of those like fat people sticks.
Yeah.
And he said that he does.
That's how he cleans his asshole?
Yeah. Right. I know all the questions you want to know. Yeah. Like, what do you do once you've used it, right? Mm-hmm. He says he cleans it.
Ugh.
Every fucking time.
Wow.
That poor guy.
Can you imagine using a public bathroom? This is why handicap stalls should have the sink inside. We don't need to know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I that poor guy. But, I mean, you know what? No, good for him, though. I'll say
No, he's fucked. He's alive.
No, I won't say good for him. You know what? He should be a better comedian. I should have heard of this guy. Considering how much adversity he's felt in life, you know how it is, like, if you don't have arms, he should be better. Like, if you can't hear, you can see really good. Or if you're blind, your hearing is a little bit better.
That's not how sight works,
That's
though.
How it works, guys. No. I believe that.
No. You're missing arms, you're funnier. That's,
yes. I feel like if he has missing arms, his fucking, he should be crushing it on stage every time, because he should have gotten his fucking personality to be unbelievable.
Oh, sure, but,
He should be crushing puss. He should be fucking great at
math.
Well,
that's the thing, is he is crushing puss.
He's nice. Probably not good at math because he has no fingers to even start. His foundation of counting is horrific.
Yeah.
He should be good at math. What a shame.
Yeah, shame on.
Shame on. Great show, though, guys. I'm glad to have you guys back on the network. We did put our differences aside. We didn't have any
differences.
No, me and you didn't.
You and me are fine. Yeah. Me and Ralph are cool.
Yeah.
Right? It's just Karen.
Yeah. I'm glad we were able to make it work, though. You guys were getting interest from other people. You guys were very close to signing with Anthony Cumia's network.
Yeah.
Which bummed me out. I was like, I can't let Anthony Cumia's network get one of the shows. Nobody's leaving Gas Digital for Anthony Cumia's network. There are people who leave their network and come to us, and then we will turn them down. That's what's
happening. Yeah. Tell them.
Made it very personal for no reason. Did you guys hear that Anthony Cumia got into a fight with Jon Stewart?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. What
at the
what?
Comedy Cellar.
Why?
Because apparently he went to go shake Jon Stewart's hand. Like, Jon Stewart showed up at the Comedy Cellar a few nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in his return to stand-up. How long has it been since Jon Stewart did stand-up? Had to be a while,
right? He's
gone
on and off for a long time.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know Jon Stewart's stand-up, really, but I'm sure it's great or, you know, good at the very least.
He was, like, really funny and edgy when he was younger, and then he started, like, getting like remote control and like other stuff, and it kind of died down.
I thought he was Dan Cortez for the first like 5 years. The first 5 years of knowing who Dan Cortez and Jon Stewart were.
Who's Dan Cortez?
From Rock and Jock, MTV. Pull up Dan Cortez, MTV's Rock and Jock. Maybe they have a trailer for
all the like real world Road Rules Challenge softball tournament.
He was the host of anything. Like, he was like the douchebag, non-smart Jon Stewart. Like, if Jon Stewart's mom just drank a few more beers while he was in the womb, he ended up being Dan Cortez. Here, do you have him?
So why did he punch him?
Let's see.
They got in a physical fight?
No, they just yelled at each other.
But I heard it almost got physical.
MTV Sports, the show that brings you high-octane sporting action from all four corners of the planet.
Is that Mo
Dangerous
from
distractions.
Legends
Dan
of the Hidden Temple?
MTV Sports.
Oh, that was it.
Wow. Well, that's his best clip, too.
MTV Sport.
Shani, I don't want to just see Dan Cortez's dumb face. Get him talking and then bring it back up again in a minute, okay? No, apparently Anthony Cumia, Jon Stewart shows up and Anthony Cumia goes to shake his hand, right? Just to say what's up. And then Jon Stewart, I think there's a quote out there somewhere. He says something along the lines of, I wouldn't fucking shake your hand, if I was dead or whatever. And he like embarrassed him at the cellar in front of like comics. He was like, he was like, fuck you, dude.
I wouldn't shake your hand if I was dead.
I don't know.
It's so disrespectful to not shake someone's hand.
Yeah. I mean, especially as like, I get it. Like, I get if you're like that into politics that you're like kind of on the other team, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, how seriously do you take your job where it's like disagrees?
Wait, that's why? Do we know if that's
Is that
why?
What it was over politics?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it was.
Yeah, what else has Anthony
could have fucked
done
his
lately?
Wife? Could, yeah, right.
That would be like disrespectful or like considered bad.
I mean, do you think it was because he beat up his fucking
It could be a lot
old crazy ex-girlfriend. You think that's what John Stewart was drawing a fucking line at? Come on. I mean, no, I don't think so. I think it was because Anthony Cumia not only isn't just like on the other side politically, like pushes the other side politically, has an agenda, just like John Stewart has an agenda. And when people have an agenda that's not just to be funny, which both of those guys, that's not their agenda anymore, which is to just entertain. Their agenda is to literally come in and push a political side. You see it. It becomes like, well, now we can't be fucking friends. But it's kind of crazy because, like, who gives a fuck about... Shouldn't they just kind of go, like, oh... Which I'm not going to blame Anthony for because Anthony was just trying to say what's up. Like, who gives a fuck? But shouldn't John Stewart just be like, who gives a fuck? We're just comedians. Yeah. We're all just funny dudes who say stupid shit.
That's why I don't believe it. Like, you think you wouldn't have shaken Nick DiPaolo's hand or any... You know, like, any fucking right-wing comic? I don't think he would. It sounds like he hates Cumia for deeper reason.
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. We could all guess, start some rumors.
I wish I could. I texted Anthony about it. He called. I texted Anthony saying if he wants to come on Legion of Skanks this week, and he said he can't. But I was like, I want to hear the whole story. And he said he's a fucking hypocrite.
Stewart's a hypocrite.
Yeah, Stewart's a hypocrite. I don't know. I don't know. I think that's what it is. Is this a Dan Cortez clip, Shannon?
Dan Cortez, MTV Sports. I'm here with Hammer, the man. NBA Stay in School All-Star Jam, man. What's it all about?
Y'all ready for this?
What's all about rewarding some kids?
Dude, 90s MTV rules.
Too legit to quit school. I heard that.
No wonder he lost all his money.
Oh, holy shit.
What is Hammer into now?
I heard that.
You're into something different.
Super that's literally, that would be, he would lose his job today for doing that. Right. That's fine, Shen. He would today. They would be like, "All right, dude. Sorry, you can't do black voice. You're not allowed to do black voice to a black person's face on."
This was before MTV hired one black person. Yeah. They didn't even have one, so no one was around.
Well, Dan Cortez. They were like, "Ah, he's got a Puerto Rican last name. I'm assuming he's black enough."
Black. Two birds with one stone.
Is he a Puerto Rican?
I don't know, but Cortez is a Puerto Rican last name, right? Or a Hispanic last name.
Mexican, yeah.
You know, that's it. Like Cruz, like Tom Cruise. He definitely kind of
Well, they get to say the N-word more than anybody else, so why can't they say I heard that?
Puerto Ricans?
Yeah.
I don't know. But Dan Cortez looks white. Mm-hmm. It's not like you see him and he, you know, even if he is Hispanic, like I look Hispanic.
He's like the Luis Gomez of
Luis
MTV.
J. Gomez. And I look Hispanic though. So I get to get away with saying it a little bit more than Dan Cortez. I can say, what's up,
Dan L. Cortez.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just corrected him on your middle name.
I did. That's but I walked in.
Oh, you can't believe it?
Don't drop the J.
I walked into a diner the other day, and it was Gary Veeder and a couple other white guys, Mike Cannon, and I was just like, yo, what up, niggas? And there was a bunch of black people there. Nobody better than I. Nobody cared.
Yeah, because they probably didn't feel like getting into an argument with you and having you yell in a diner.
No. It's because they accept me.
Ooh.
You don't think it's because you're batshit insane and it wasn't worth their trouble?
No.
I really don't because I don't think that black people fear one dude with a little pink skateboard. Like I don't think they would look at me and go like, oh well, that guy's gonna be the fucking problem. I'm not gonna start shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I think if they were offended by me saying the N-word, if I was a white guy the exact same size wearing the exact same clothes, I think that they would have had a problem with me saying it. But I think it's because it's my brown skin.
Okay, not to devil's advocate this, but just the other day I was eating tacos and some white guy was getting arrested by some black cops and he was just screaming the N-word over and over and over again. And I'll tell you what, nobody from that Mexican restaurant looked up because they didn't want to fucking look at that guy. Could it have been that?
Wait, they don't want to look at the...
You don't want to watch a guy get arrested. You're like, I don't need this guy's problem.
No.
I wasn't afraid of him. The cops had him handed, you know, like had him in hand, but...
What a weird thing. It's like bizarre.
Maybe
world.
That's why Stewart wouldn't shake like Anthony's hand.
But like, you know, no, like when someone's begging for money in the subway, you don't look up.
Right.
You're a subway beggar of the diner.
Okay, so you're saying like, yeah, they're like, oh God, it's a crazy guy. Yeah. I'm not fucking dealing with this
shit.
Look
at this grown man with tattoos and a little pink skateboard. God only knows what little girl he has in the trunk who was riding that thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so, though. I think I'm a little bit more accepted. You said that to me last night. You were like, because I say racist shit sometimes. Was that you? Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. You were like, dude, how much do you thank God that you are just the little tiny bit Puerto Rican that you get to say this shit?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I have a pass, Micah. Okay, you don't I get you guys have fucking Jew faces. You guys can say kike all day long, and you get to say it too, Ian.
Yeah, but I don't.
Yeah, we
you
don't can. Need it. We have like the banks and stuff. We don't need kike.
Well, he's not actually Jewish.
You do. I right. don't.
No, but when you
he I ride a bicycle.
He has a no. He has a pass.
A kikesicle. That's what I call it when you're on it.
A delicious summertime trip.
It's not a bell to cash register ring. Cha-ching, cha-ching, out of the way.
Truck goes by playing Hava Nagila.
Shit. I mean, would you? Look, there's nobody in the world. To be honest with you, there's really not many people in the world that I wouldn't shake their hand if they went to go shake my hand, unless they were like.
Dude, I almost knocked a dude out at an open mic because he wouldn't shake my hand.
After why would we got
like an
hand?
Argument? He was like, "I don't respect you." I was like, "You motherfucker!" And then I had to get broken.
That really,
up.
This really happens. That's fucking crazy. You always shake a hand because you don't want to
exactly.
get in a fight.
It's like a massive sign of disrespect that you won't shake someone's hand. A shake of the hand is a very way of being like, "Hey, whatever we
hey,
have
dude, we're
is
fucking
aside."
No, look, I do sometimes. Like, I understand if you're like a germaphobe and you want to do a knuckle or fucking sweaty, gooey hands like Mike Lawrence.
Right.
You know when. Every time somebody touches your hand, you just look in their eyes. You're like, okay, that is 10 years of them not liking me as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Mike figured that out very early, which is good, okay? But the other move is the fucking Jewish fucking handshake that a lot of old Jews will do. This one, no. Right here. Boom. You grab their wrists right there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's an embrace. It's an arm embrace.
An arm embrace? Is that what they call that?
No,
that's
there's
to touch
no
the Holocaust tattoo.
Yes. You feel the heat. It still comes off of it.
That's where their scanners
are. Yeah, it's her knife.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, look, I don't think that there's anything more personal than that. And I'll ask Anthony. I think it just comes from the fact that Anthony, you know, pushes that agenda hard. That's his whole show. That's his whole angle. And Jon Stewart is, you know, pushes the other side. And it's very funny because it's a little bit of a microcosm into kind of how the attitudes of both sides are.
Mm-hmm.
Because people on the left and people that are liberal, feminist, SJW culture, whatever it is, that really define themselves that way and really hold on to that, they have a visceral hatred for people on the other side. People that are even slightly on the other side. Like, let's say you're like, oh, I don't define myself as a Republican, but I could see how Trump, and people will fucking lose their mind. Like, that's it. They're going to call you racist, whatever it is. Whereas I think people on the right, even people that define themselves on the right kind of a little bit harder, I think there's kind of an attitude of like, I don't really give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares what, you know.
Well, that's like the whole basis of it. They just want to be left alone. They don't want to be told how to think, how to act. And so then when you start to get in the territory of like, well, you should do this and you should feel this, then it's like, no, I'm going to bounce back even harder.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. So, but that it's very interesting. It was kind of, it's mm-hmm. a little interesting thing to look at where John's, I think it comes off very immature on Jon Stewart's end. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well
if I were Jon Stewart, like, you know, you're famous enough. You don't have to shake anyone's hand if you don't want to. You're fucking Jon Stewart. You have all your money. You quit your own job to do what you want. But my question is, just Cumia? Like, he probably, why does he hate more people than Cumia?
It's not just, like, Nick DiPaolo is not a, he does talk about politics on his radio show. He is right wing. He, you know, he is a Republican. But that's not, like, his fucking agenda. Like, Anthony, you know, he...
But like,
he is Anthony's considered like a leader in that community, kind of like in terms of on the broadcasting side. Like,
so would
Anthony,
you say that he's
Gavin,
like a Rush Limbaugh?
I mean, he helped.
But would we have heard about him being rude before now?
Jon Stewart?
Yeah. Like, if he was like, you know, dissing people's hands.
I don't think he's really fucking going out and mingling. There's not too many people in the comedy community that do what Anthony does.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was an intern for The Daily Show, and we were supposed to have a meet and greet with Jon Stewart, but someone killed himself and they canceled it and they never rescheduled.
What?
So, yep.
Did they kill themselves because Jon wouldn't shake his hand?
Yeah. It was over a handshake.
Let's real quick, let's get some plugs out of the way, Shannon. We should do the plugs after the first story now, Shannon. I like that better, right? Bury it a little bit?
Yeah, that's good.
Ah, Micah Fox, what do you got to plug?
You gotta listen to Shame on this very fucking network. Me and Karen came back to wreck it. To wreck it up. What, other shows? All right, I'll plug the other one. Listen to This Week in Jackin'.
Yeah, wreck it up.
I don't know what you know, I got high before I came in here and I'm like, what is happening?
Who cares? You're good. You're killing it.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Micah,
yeah.
You're killing it. You're not even the Jewiest looking person in the room anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, thank
congrats.
God, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was very Jewish downstairs.
Ian.
Yes.
What would you like to plug?
Hello. Follow me on Instagram at iAnimal. I got all my dates on my website, ianfidance.com, and I'm thinking about trying to get this podcast off the ground. Stay tuned for more details.
Yeah. Shannon, this better not be loud like it was. I mean, I will kill you.
It was a setting that was off. It's fixed.
I mean, I need to be, like, very low. It should be very low in the background.
I can't make it any lower. If I click lower, it's going to turn
You're
off.
Doing great, Shannon. I love you.
No.
Ooh.
It was bad. It was bad. Two episodes.
I'm into Shannon.
Easy there, R. Kelly.
No.
No, you're not talking to Shannon.
Listen, Zach, what do you got to plug?
Twitter and Instagram. Zach is not funny. This Saturday, I will be at the Trumbo Dance Film Festival hosting the After Party comedy show. Me, Scott Chaplin, Eli Sayers, and Stavros Halkias. And then the week after that, I will be in Syracuse. Go on my Twitter and check out all the dates.
Yeah, bro.
What do you have coming up, Lewis?
Thanks, bro. August 24th to 26th, I'll be in Sacramento at the Punchline with Nate Bargatze. Make sure you guys go check out that show. San Fran, if I don't fucking confirm it today, if they don't get back to me today, I'm fucking canceling the gig and I'm just going to come to LA a day early. So fuck it. Okay? Guys, I've been trying to, I'm doing a show in San Fran, but the venues give me the fucking runaround now and they haven't given me a confirmation. So if I don't confirm it by, if you don't see it on my fucking website by Monday night, guess what? That's not happening. I'll just be in LA. Either way, I'm going to be in LA without a doubt August 28th through September 1st. Various venues. I know I'm doing Joey Diaz's podcast. I'm doing Kill Tony. I'm doing Doug Benson's Doug Loves Movies. A bunch of stand-up shows as well. So make sure you guys come and check me out when I'm in LA. Also, Roastmasters Live every Tuesday night from the Stand Comedy Club, guys. We're not fucking around. It's been sold out every week for the past month. So get your tickets early. Free tickets for Real Ass Podcast listeners. Promo code RAP if you go to thestandnyc.com. New York City's best and brightest comedians roast the shit out of each other. You guys get to be a part of it every single week. It's so much fucking fun. Big J, Rich Voss over there at the judges' table every week. Ari Shaffir's coming up this week as well.
I should have plugged that shit.
Oh, yeah, you're battling in the fucking tourney.
Who are you battling? This Tuesday, I'm going up against Corey Rapond.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Retard Pond.
Corey Rapond is one of the most proven battlers. I would consider Corey Rapond sort of the gatekeeper of the division. If you beat Corey Rapond, then people start going like, okay, this person can maybe come and fucking, you know, compete at the higher level. But...
Really?
Well, yeah.
Fuck Corey. He has nothing else.
Yeah.
This is the only thing he does. He's been really great at it, but I think he's been slipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, you show him, Micah. Good is job, my mic Micah. On? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. It's
I on. Can't hear me.
I turned it down in my headphones.
Okay. As long as you guys can hear me. Great. That's all that matters.
Go to iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Shannon gave me the names because once a month we're picking out one random reviewer that reviews on iTunes, and we're giving them a free t-shirt. And this month, for the month, what was that, July? Jack Havor.
Woo!
Jack
yes,
Havor, you
Jack!
Dirty whore.
Woo!
Hit us up. You shoot us an email. Shannon, where should they email? Where can they email you?
They can just tweet at Real Ass Podcast, and I'll see it. Someone reached out to me and gave me all their information from last month, so
great.
It's all set.
Free t-shirt, guys. Jack Havor, you get a free Real Ass Podcast t-shirt. And we have two new Real Ass Podcast t-shirts that are launching next month, so pretty dope. All right. Thanks, Shannon. So, I wanted to talk about, I did mention the Roastmasters. We should talk about this for a minute. There was a female comedian. Is she a comedian? I did not know that this chick was even a comic. I thought she was just a producer. I thought she worked in television. Nice enough chick. I've known her a while. Definitely one of these chicks who very vocal about the unfairness of the industry, and you know, this is kind of a theme, and it's fine. Look, yes, she is very valid to say that there are definitely disadvantages to being a woman in the industry. However, I roll my eyes because there are disadvantages. Anybody can give you a laundry list of disadvantages, and anybody who's sitting there focusing on that, I go, boo fucking who. I'm moving forward while you sit there and bitch about what you don't
Anyone
have.
That complains about disadvantages or whatever, yeah, it's unfucking fair for a lot of people. Yeah. So
if you wouldn't go into comedy if you weren't disadvantaged.
If there's shit stacked up against you, work harder, write more, get on stage more, fucking be better. Like all this shit about like, white guys can't, da-da-da-da. Okay, all right. Well, I'm just going to be the best white guy.
You just touched on a great point, Micah, which it's like, stand-up comedy in general, this type of fucking need for attention, us doing this and you know, it comes from some fucking weird defect or some need for some desire to be fucking, you know, told you're great or told you're funny or told you're important. Usually it's from our parents not paying attention to us or abusing us or whatever it is. Not always, but usually comes from that. So when you go like, oh my God, I'm inherently at a disadvantage, you go, yeah, okay, cool, use that. Go use that. Go get that. That's what's making you funnier as a person. So why are you bitching about it? All of those, we could all bitch about every one of those things, but we don't.
The majority of people that haven't had to overcome things in their personal life in a way, whether it be, you know, something like a death, abuse, or some sort of fucked up familial situation, and when they get into comedy, they're like, well, wait a minute, something hard? Well, I can't do this.
Yes.
There must be another reason.
Yeah.
It can't be me, you know what I mean? And it's just a ton of people that have had it kind of easy, and then they get into the reality of being in a very difficult business, so they got to make up other excuses.
Well, that's the other thing. You go, everyone... Like, look, if you're looking for the reason that you're not making it, right? First of all, you're probably not going to make it, right? Because that's the way you're looking at things. You're looking for reasons that you're not making it. Instead of
reasons
going like,
outside of yourself, you mean.
Right. Reasons outside of I'm not good enough or I'm not funny enough, right? I need to work harder and I need to strive to be better. If you're looking for those reasons, like, oh, it's this, dude. There was this fucking thing. I used to do it when I was a younger comic. Mm-hmm. Look for excuses to why I'm not getting on television. Look for it was always some other fucking outside force.
Right,
it was like it was never I just wasn't good enough, and that's the truth. Most people aren't good enough. 99% of the comics
aren't
good enough.
It's really fucking hard to look in the mirror and be like, "Wow, dude, you're not good enough. You got to work harder."
Well, in fairness, a lot of the comics who succeed aren't good enough. So you see that, and you're like, "But I'm the same, not good enough. Why? Yes. Why not me?" And that's where fucking luck comes in. Right?
That's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's a little bit of luck, but it's also you keep on working hard. It's almost like it's not even, I don't even look at it as luck. I look at it as luck the same way that, you know, poker players look at their cards as being luck, right? You just keep on playing your hand, right? And if you keep on playing the hands the right way and you keep on kind of making the right moves, if you're even slightly funny, you'll make a career out of doing stand-up. You can talk into microphones and that's it. You don't have to have a day job. I watch hundreds of people do it in New York City that aren't, I mean, one-tenth as funny as anybody in this room, okay? So there's definitely a path to doing that. I don't know the chick stand up. She might be one of the funniest people on the planet.
The people that complain are usually criminally unfunny, though.
Yes, right. That is
because complaining is inherently unfunny.
Yeah,
like
right.
That's
but
your
I mean,
instinct,
like,
your instincts
like these people
funny.
Have been offensively unfunny, and then it's like it's like people that like you see there who's saying this thing like, well, I quit because it was just too many people were against me. Blah, blah. It's like, no, you quit because you don't know how to write a fucking joke.
Well, also, yeah, they probably were against you and it's because you suck.
Yeah.
I've been nice to a lot of assholes because they're funny.
Yeah, Shannon, I gave you...
nice to you.
Don't say the girl's name.
Thank you
but
so
I want
much.
You to...
I That's went, like legit the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah, the first time I met you, someone was like, oh, yeah, this is Micah. I go, hey, Micah. You go, you don't know who I am?
Sounds like me. You're not the only person with that story.
Yeah.
Shit.
Shannon, I want you to read it as her. Don't say her name, but this is the thing that she posted about the roast battle.
Oh,
Shannon
God.
Was busy. Good.
Okay, good.
Woohoo.
All right, so good, Shannon. This is what she posted 2 days ago? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm clearly opening myself up to a troll army to yell at me, but can we talk about the whole roast culture thing in comedy? I feel like it's fundamentally pretty shitty to women and people who aren't straight white dudes. I used to love roasts. When comics would do them for their birthdays at the Creek or UCB or something, I would go and feel special for getting the in jokes, and everybody used to have a great time. I still think the James Franco roast on Comedy Central is so much fun because everyone on that dais is actually friends, and it felt like seeing the sneak peek into who they really were.
Just pause it for just stop for 1 second.
The worst one.
It's a terrible roast, and also none of the comedians are friends with James Franco, okay? So yeah, they have his friends who aren't comics, they're actors, they go up, and then the comedians are all the same dais that they have for every roast. But who the fuck do you think is writing for those actors?
Right.
It's all these fucking young stand-up comedians. So first of all, what Roast Battle has kind of created for those comics is an opportunity to possibly get writing gigs, an opportunity to possibly get on television. It is just another avenue.
It's just another opportunity.
Just another. There's no downside.
Yeah.
Oh, not only that. Just another opportunity for black people, women, and gay and lesbian people. I'm telling you right now, they are dying to put black people... gay, lesbians, or LGBT community people and women on Roast Battle on that show.
Because they're most fun to make fun of.
Kind of true as well.
Yeah, but dude, even in this tournament.
It's both. She's right. Like,
there is something about that. You're right. Okay. She makes this point. Right. Let's let her continue to read. Because there are a couple points that she does actually make that aren't wrong. I just go, okay, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but dude, black people are the funniest at snapping and like roasting, but the way they do it is very like off the cuff, back and forth, and the way Roast Battle is assembled.
Yeah, they have to be able to spell. Fucking awful. It's really
it doesn't work in the format.
You have to have a work ethic and be able to write, right?
Right, right. But I've never laughed harder than sitting around in a circle and snapping back and forth with black dudes, and it's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
The format came from, it's so funny, she's like, you know, it's for, you know, it's inherently fundamentally a disadvantage for, or no, what's the word she used? Fundamentally what?
Fundamentally pretty shitty to women and people who aren't straight white dudes.
Right. It was started by black guys. It was started by Rel Battle and
Brian Moses
in LA. Started by two fucking black guys.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire format and the culture
wave
of it. Yeah.
There's only one white guy.
It's really funny. The Negro Wave, people don't realize how great. This is why everyone hates on the Negro Wave on like Reddit and people that. Listen to you, racist fucks. Let me explain to you why you should love the Negro Wave, okay? If you're a racist fucking neckbeard on Reddit, the Negro Wave.
Just look into Zach's eyes when you say this.
The Negro Wave was started off as kind of a, hey, look, this is how black people act at comedy clubs.
Right.
They go apeshit.
Right.
It's just racist.
Right, right, right.
It is just a caricature. It is basically a racist fucking cartoon from the 30s that you guys get to watch and they don't even appreciate it. They go, oh, it's stupid. Why are these black people acting this way? Idiots, they're giving you exactly what you want. It's incredible. Yeah, it's so fucking funny.
And they're just so stupid they don't see it.
It's called The Wave on Comedy Central, but it's called the fucking
Negro Wave.
The Negro Wave.
Yeah.
And it's because in the movie theater, it's black people stomping around during a funny scene, and they brought it to another level to where they fucking have props. It is so fucking.
Oh, it's the best, dude.
You got to go watch it in LA at the Comedy Store. Have you been to the Comedy Store to watch it?
I haven't, but I've seen the Jeff Ross originals and The Wave and all the kids because they brought it here.
I did stand up at Roast Battle at the Comedy Store, and like during my stand up, the Negro Wave was getting up and fucking reacting when I was getting pops.
Yeah.
And then they all stood up and like dapped me on the way down. Jeff Ross and Russell Peters, and it was the greatest fucking feeling ever to have the Negro Wave like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fuck you if you don't like that. There needs to be some sort of something here.
But I just call it like the opportunities that this show is creating for minorities and women. I'm going like, what are you talking about?
Now, dude, the women are the funniest ones in this tournament.
So the optics.
I mean, my money in some women.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Not you.
Fuck off.
Half the tournament is women here. But anyway, what were you gonna say?
Oh, well, I mean, this
not the next
person
week.
The person who's authoring this is a New York-based comic.
And her perspective is New York-based.
And so, but you know what? You do have a lot more women than most shows, and not that we should compare to see what's right, but, like, there are, I mean, you give a lot of women opportunities That's the opportunity.
But to shit on as well.
Right.
It's not, the idea of the roast battle is a writing exercise, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have to have a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, look, you're taking the chance that people might go for the lowest hanging fruit, right? So for me, they go, oh, you're a Puerto Rican. This guy probably robs cars. Okay, that's kind of whack. But then on a higher level, if somebody actually does the research and they go like, oh, well, they find out my dad's dead and my mom was a heroin addict and I'm co-parenting a four-year-old with a chick who lives two blocks from me in Harlem. There's all these other things that you can attack and get really, really clever with.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are really good, the top, you know, 20, 25 people that are on that list are fucking very clever and they're really good. And to kind of disparage the entire show and go like, oh, well, it's just bullshit jokes and you're just making cheap racial or sex jokes to these people, you go like, no, that's not what's happening on the higher level.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, when some of those shittier shows, but it happens in stand-up in general. Yeah. There's a lot of shitty, hacky jokes at every open mic every single night because people have to learn how to do it. There's a process.
Oh, you can't throw shit on the wall and see what sticks. But it's very interesting, too, because you can get away with like terribly racist, sexist jokes if they're clever. At Roast Battle, and the crowd goes into it knowing what is going to happen, but if you try those same jokes at a regular show, the crowd is not in a mindset where they can accept those kinds of things. So it's very interesting to be like, people enjoy this, but only when they like know it's going to happen.
Well, it's also because the person they're saying it about is right there telling the audience that it's okay.
Right, but it's Chris Crespo. It's like he's laughing and he's going to the audience. He, you know, you had him on the podcast. because he's laughing and telling everyone like, oh, this is cool, it makes everyone goes, this is great. And that right. little deviant part of you goes, I want to laugh at this guy with these tiny arms, right? Yeah. I don't get to do that. I've been told my whole life you would never do that. Rightfully so. But once in a while, you want to kind of let the steam out.
Bad.
You want to you want to be an asshole. You want to say, you know, bad things. And things like Roast Battle, I think that it gives people an opportunity to kind of get that release. So I think it's only a good thing. What happens is this woman, you know, you're talking about like, you know, violence towards women and aggression towards women. Guys, in this isn't the problem. Jokes about that and coming into a format like this, that's not the problem. The problem is telling people you can't say things and then them pushing it down. And then when they're on YouTube or on Reddit, when there's no accountability, then they get, fuck this stupid cunt. Right, I hope she gets raped. That ends up being a problem. And I think you're adding to that culture by trying to control people's words in the arts.
Well, I mean, I don't think when I do when I do a roast, I'm not like thinking about racist shit until I do that roast. I'm just trying to think of fucking jokes. I'm not going to go on YouTube because I've suppressed it if I didn't do a roast battle.
I'm not
those
saying,
YouTube people are assholes no matter what we do.
No, right. I'm just saying I think that it's a culture thing, right? So when people talk about rape culture or people talk about whatever culture, I just think that adds to that, okay? I don't think it's you specifically.
But I mean, you could say that these roast battles add to it because now they're armed with jokes that they can go tell
right,
less
well. Right, and they think it's okay to just go up to someone and be like, hey, you're fat black.
Yeah. I think it's a release. I don't know. I grew up at a time when people would just make stupid race jokes. Like teachers in high school and middle school would make race jokes. It wasn't, I'm 35 years old. It wasn't, there wasn't this thing. If there was fucking, you know, black kids and white kids there, it wasn't a problem to mention the fact that there were differences. And everyone got along. Right. There wasn't fucking race wars. We also have cameras out everywhere now. We see every interaction. All those interactions are going viral. So it does seem like, holy shit, are we just on the cusp of a race war?
Right.
I don't even know. Look, if you look at the numbers, how much more race crime is happening in 2017 than was happening in 1992 when I was in, you know, fucking elementary school? I don't know. I don't know if it's more or less. If I had to guess, it's probably less. But it just seems like a hell of a lot more.
Because we're more aware of it.
Yeah, because we have the internet. And we have fucking cell phone cameras.
Yeah, but also I think like growing up, I was just watching American Pie. And it was like
there were only white people and racism wasn't an issue.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Right.
I watched that in the movie theater with my girlfriend's mom. We were in high school in the 11th grade. Her mom brought us.
Right.
And like the scene where she's eating, and her name was Vicky. The girl that was dating name was Vicky. The girl in the movie's name was Vicky. And he was eating her out, and he's like, she's like, Vicky. And I'm like literally going like, holy shit. Yeah. I can jerk off to that thought now, like the whole interaction. But back then,
at the same age?
Very uncomfortable at the time. But now, my like, that's pretty hot. Really thinking about it?
Her mom was hot?
Now?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Nothing matter. Yeah. The whole thing was just kind of hot in a weird way, like a fucking two teenage kids with a mom right there. I don't know. Anyway, so all right, so continue reading this woman's post.
I'm a person who really likes making fun of people and being made fun of. When I'm in a group of people I know and like, nothing makes me laugh harder than a perfectly timed insult. That being said, it's now being used as an audition or a lower level show that functions as a gateway to get into clubs, festivals, and on TV.
All right, stop for a second now. It's not being. You cannot get into any club off of roast battling. Where is this misconception coming from?
I mean, people are getting spots at the stand because they've done roast battle. That happens.
Spots at the stand?
No. They get a frantic spot. They get a free spot once a year on Frantic.
Yeah.
Because Patrick knows who you are now.
Yeah.
You're a young comic working in New York, and he hooks you up. How is that a bad thing? That's not an audition. That's nothing. Zach's one of the best roast battlers in the city. How often do you work the stand?
Two or three times a year.
Ask Eli how often he works a stand. I mean, Eli's the best, the absolute best. Eli's a funny stand-up, too.
I actually think it's a fucking shame.
So do I. Michael Che actually is making a push right now. We're supposed to start doing a monthly show. He's like, dude, you got to make sure these guys are getting stage time.
Right.
Literally, she's against that. Like, the whole point of this post is that that's a problem, that they would even let people showcase their writing and performing and then use that as a way to get passed at a club. It's not happening. But if it was happening, how is that even a problem? It's just yet another path. It is like anything else. Ah, dude, come on, man. That guy's in a movie and they pass him at the stand because he can act. Okay, man. I don't know how that. I mean, what are you talking about? It's just another fucking thing. Guess what? Eli's got more fucking fans than a lot of comics that have been doing comedy for five times as long as he has.
Right.
Period. Okay, he's got a lot of that show's a very popular show. There are hundreds of thousands of people that have watched the battle. There are millions of people that watch Zach on YouTube battle, mm-hmm. right? Millions of fucking people. There's some value there. So if somebody has the chops to go and do well on stage at a club, and that's where they're known from, who gives a fuck? What's a shame is it's not even happening. But to act like that's a problem, it's driving me out of my fucking mind. Driving me out of my mind, especially because we are talking about black people, women. And there's not that many gays. You and you. Actually, there's a lot of gays.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We make one together.
Yeah, let's fuck.
I mean, Alex English is... I've personally beaten a gay.
Yeah.
So...
Physically.
In your personal life?
Join the rest right. of the table.
Yeah. You know, I've had the opportunity.
Did his reaction or his response to this was one of the best ones. I loved it. He goes, somebody comes up to me and they're like... aren't you that Alex English kid from the roast battle? And he's like, oh, I saw your battle against whoever. It was great. He was like, what about the one against Micah Fox? He was like, oh, you stunk that battle. He's like, thanks. And then he goes, the point is, I got a fan, which is like, right, I thought it was right. such a great fucking point. Yeah. You're like, you're cutting down a show that's giving young comics an opportunity to build a fan base. The absolute most important thing, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't believe that women should be made fun of? That's what if women, what if, Micah, you do the roast battle?
Dude, all the women in this tournament are fucking hilarious.
They're all hilarious.
I'm going against Rosebud and I'm going to lose. She's fucking great.
Rosebud's one of the best. I would say Katie Hannigan might be favored to win it. Her and Joel are probably the two that are favored to win the whole thing. But all of the battlers, I mean, half the main events are women.
Right.
Because I got to be honest with you, what happens is, number one, it's more interesting to have the kind of like female versus male thing. I think it ends up being, there ends up being more juice there. Whatever it is, it's kind of just looking at like black and white. You just kind of like, it does something, I think, for the crowd.
Yeah, but also it's not even, it is about the joke writing, but it's also about the performance. You know, like if someone's beating you, you like put them up. You know, it's like wrestling, you know? You put someone else over and you fucking make it a good show for everyone. That's all that fucking matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, as long as it's a good fucking time.
Fully
I lost
agree.
To Eric Aspera, and it was a great battle.
Yeah, that dude is funny. Shannon, continue.
Because not everyone wants to subject themselves to having some comic they don't know talk about their race, gender, sexual identity.
Get to know each other.
Yeah. Get to know each other or don't do it.
Also... Yeah. So many times I've roasted where we've said, like, this and this is off limits. You know, like, you can say something's off limits and only a real piece of shit would be like...
Dude, would still do it.
Yeah. Me and Rosebud.
I would, if somebody says something's off limits, I would literally go to everybody behind their back and be like, that person is a real fag.
Yeah. You are such a piece of shit.
Off limits? What the fuck is it? What could possibly be off limits? The only thing that I would say would be off limits, like... Like, if you knew something about, like, my son's mother's personal life, right, I would say, don't say something about that. And they go, because that would, like, make, that would give me a lot of shit. And you're not roasting her, you're roasting me. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
like her dad died, right? So if you did a, I would go, like, yeah, don't talk about it. My son's grandfather dying. She's not going to find that funny, do you? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
she didn't agree to be in the roast.
Exactly. So,
and also, dude, Rosebud and I met, and we, like, had a genuine, like, hug and we hung out. Like, I feel closer to her now. You know what I mean? Like, when you meet with a comic beforehand, unless you're like a piece of shit,
dude,
you're gonna
I started
to know someone else better.
I started dating the girl that I roast battled in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even lying about this. I really mean this. I became more attracted to her once I started talking to her about her background, her life, started to find out what the deal was. You know what I'm saying? And I mean it. Like, I knew the chick for
That's
a while.
That's how falling in love works for most people.
Isn't that funny?
Right? You get to know them and then look at that. Yeah. Things in common.
But it's also on a crazier level because what...
Lewis just hit romantic maturity because of roast
through
battle.
Roast battle. On the podcast. In real time. You guys watched it.
That was so sad. Where...
You didn't hear the episode that they did before they battled. Where the two of them are like pussyfooting around the fact that they're gonna fuck. Holy shit.
Flirting.
Oh God, you
flirting on the podcast.
Retard.
Now listen to me. But it's also different. It's also different because you're not just getting to know each other. You're getting to know each other very quickly in a very concentrated way. You're asking people about dark, very personal things. So it is like fucking... It's like boot camp for getting to know each other. And you're also trying to come out of
Speed
something...
Dating.
You're trying to... pull something out of it, a joke out of these things. So you're trying to come up with a product. You're exploring it in a much different way. You know what I'm saying? So you tell me that, you know, let's say we're dating. You go, oh, my grandpa died, right? I'm going, oh, that sucks. I give you a hug, and, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You tell me your grandpa died, and we're about to roast battle. I'm thinking of fucking the intricacies of how'd your grandpa die. Tell, like, no, no, no. How did it affect you? Like, no, no. What did you do when he died that morning after? Like, did you cry? What did you do at his funeral? Oh, my God. Like it's such a different thing when you're digging for a joke that I think that, I don't know, what you end up kind of becoming closer to those people. For the most part, I always hear that out of people when they come out of a roast battle. They always end up kind of becoming closer friends with that person either way. Yeah,
and also comedy in general helps you get over things when you start to be truthful and honest and introspective about your life. You know, like I anyone that's had loss or some sort of struggle, I had such a hard time with a lot of personal things in my life. And then
your
when
face.
I was four, yes, my face. Thank you, you fucking asshole. It's a good face. A lot of things.
Don't his teeth look like they're trying to eat each other?
Shut up, you horse face bitch. Your fucking gums over here.
Yeah, you, first of all, it literally
this
looks
like a sad family reunion.
Shit.
You were going to insult me, continue. I was having a sincere moment.
You guys look like Mr. Ed's grandchildren. Like you're collecting residuals, so you're part of the famous Ed family.
Where's Grandpapa's money?
Oh, shit. All right, so continue, Shannon. Continue.
Sexual identity, weight, traumatic things that have happened to them, things they've joked about on stage when they were in control of the narrative. You can say that if you've become a comic, you've opened yourself up to the level of criticism, discourse, being made fun of. But when you're a non-straight white dude, you get the criticism nonstop. It's called going on the internet. It's called having men who've never done comedy before give you pointers after shows.
All right, stop for 1 second. Now, here's the thing. I got to be honest with you. This is my problem. This ends up being my problem with the SJW, the extreme feminist side of this whole internet troll thing. I got to say, yeah, guys are going to say you're a cunt, go get raped. Sucks. Guys are going to say mean shit to me, too. They said fucked up shit about my son.
If you ignore it.
They told me to.
We can actually get raped.
I can get killed. What are you talking about? I can get raped.
He's a legacy.
Yeah. Listen to me. People have said to me, I mean, as clear as day, I hope your son dies. Now, you know, I got to be honest with you. Maybe that to a woman doesn't sound like anything, right? But that affects me, right? That like I go like, that's fucking, like, it's fucked up to say. And I've had it happen a lot, so I'm desensitized to it at this point. But
right, but it well, does tap into a fear that women
show
have.
Show over your son, you know. It's not like they said, "I hope your podcast fails."
Jesus, don't even joke like that.
Yeah.
Get out, my God. You leave right now.
I hope Zach gets two jobs.
Listen to me. You can't discount.
Yeah,
it does
tap into a fear that women have. About
I'm not
raped.
Discounting. I have a fear of my son dying every fucking moment that I breathe in my
but
life. Okay,
people. It's not as many people murder as like rape. Rape you can get away with.
I'm not discounting a woman's feeling of that. What I'm discounting is that being a legitimate problem in the industry is for a comedian. That having people say mean words to you is this oh my God, holy shit thing. The more famous you get, I'm telling you right now. You're going as a woman. It sucks. Okay, people are going to say mean things to you. They're going to attack your appearance. There are standards put on women's appearance that are not put on men's appearance. I understand that. It's unfair. But once again, these are cards that are dealt. Everybody has their own story. Everybody's got their own fucking problems. Okay, everybody. Okay, my mother was a heroin addict. My dad was stabbed when I was 4 years old. I'm sorry. I can't sit here and feel bad for a woman because people say mean words to her on the internet. Right. I'm not discounting her feeling and her, you know, if she's had any real traumatic experiences in her life. So fucking what? Here's what I'll tell you. Do not get into the industry if you can't handle internet trolls.
Comedy.
Because the more famous you get, it's going to happen over and over and over again. You're going to tell me that Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and Joe Rogan, and these guys aren't getting trolled. And it's just numbers by hundreds of people daily. But I'm saying, of course, Amy Schumer is the extreme example, right?
Oh, but it happens to men too, right?
But it
right,
happens
right.
to men as well.
It happens to everyone.
As you, if you get famous, people are going to say fucked up things, so you have to get a thick skin. They made a video about internet trolls and about how horrible it is for women. I'm going like, guys, just ignore it. Move on. What are you going to do? You learn that in your first year of having a podcast. You're like, oh, you're going to get people saying mean shit. You move on and you go, all right, fuck
everything
it.
Happens to everyone. Some it happens to in a disproportionate rate, but everyone goes through, to a certain extent, certainly the same things at different times in their lives. And comedy, for one, helps you get over it. If you can turn something into a joke, and you have to in a roast battle, like comedy in general helped me get over my fucking dad dying because all my shitty friends would make fun of me for having a dead dad. And I couldn't just be like, fuck you guys, that I'd lose, you know, my friends. So I had to learn how to come back with shit, you know, and it kind of made me see things.
Yeah,
you
my
know?
Dad was a stallion.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who say you should get over it, you guys sure do talk about your dead dads a lot.
Well, it's traumatic, you fucking
like, you
asshole.
Brought it up twice. You brought up every show I've ever been on. You guys do nothing but complain about your dead fucking dad.
But I'm not, though. But let me say, we're joking about it. We're having a conversation about it. It's not, here's the thing, like.
It's jokes, Mike.
You can have a gripe. Look, I saw TJ Miller last night do a joke about a troll, and I was started to roll my eyes at first. He was talking about an internet troll, and they were saying mean shit to him. And I was like, TJ, are you really doing a fucking joke about people saying mean shit to you? I started rolling my eyes, like Jesus Christ. And he ended up having it was really funny. Mm-hmm. What he did with it, it was a joke. He was going to do it on a special. Yeah. So I don't want to say what the joke was. But it was fucking really, really funny. So no, yeah, there's a way to explore that without sounding like a fucking pussy. And this is the man, woman, whatever it is. I look at comics as being fucking, like, I don't look at you having a vagina or a dick or whatever it is. We're comics, right? So I look at us as kind of being in our own kind of class and our own, you know, kind of special fucking, you know, type of person. I'm not saying it's better than other people. It's just, it's our own thing. I have a weird affinity toward other comedians just because we get up on stage and do it. I like comedians. I like the type of minds that we have, right? So, you know, I just feel like that type of attitude is just admitting weakness. It's just going like, oh yeah, I'm weaker than other people. So I don't feel bad for that person. I go, all right, beat it. Get out of the way. You're not ready for this. You're not ready to do this fucking job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when my dad died. I just felt.
God, Shannon, we got to wrap this up. This is getting long, but continue. Sorry.
Do we have to continue?
I invited her on the podcast and she was like, no, your fans aren't gonna. I was like, no, my fans, if you don't come in and if you have a point of view and you disagree, that's fine. If you come in and you're, you know, being an asshole and you're calling names and you're like, yeah, the fans are gonna be shitty to you.
But also, dude, you have this like scary exterior, but you consistently listen, you let people talk, you're like a solidly good dude, even though like you people would be like, oh, Lewis won't let you do anything, you know. And I just think like a guy like you probably is a really big cock. And I just think
I just put my foot in his dick. Finish it up, Shannon. I won't interrupt again until the end.
Do
we'll
we
wrap
have
it
to?
Up.
We,
just fucking
we did
finish it,
it
up. Finish it up,
right.
Dad.
Okay, here we go. Hey. Break it down again after two words, please.
It's called having men who've never done comedy before give you pointers after shows or think that they have a right to talk about your sex life because you talked about your sex life. So excuse me if I'm not purposefully putting myself in a position where anyone can say whatever awful things to me. It's not that I can't handle the joke. It's that the power structure that insists I stand up there and be filmed and judged.
Power structure. She's been working for the industry as a producer in the industry the entire time I've known her for over a decade.
Well, you know, everyone has opinions. You're entitled to it, whatever. It doesn't mean you got to fucking, you know.
Continue. Keep
It's the power structure that insists I stand up there and be. Okay. Also, a great roast joke.
Even Shannon rolled her eyes and went blah, 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 blah.
Whatever, clam.
All right, speed it up, dummy. Go ahead.
Also, a great roast joke is incredible, but so many of these roast jokes are low-hanging fruit. It's the same reason I stopped taking UCB classes after I entered a scene and someone said, oh, look, here comes the geisha I ordered. Like, come the fuck on. We should be better than that. That's why I started doing stand-up instead of improv, so I could talk about my shit without someone else grasping at some hacky joke louder and faster than I could. If we don't want to put ourselves in that situation, we shouldn't be judged for choosing to tell our own stories instead of having someone else tell the same old boring ones. Okay, come after me or hire me to write a think piece, I guess.
So that's it. So the last thing I'll say on this, and we'll move on from it, it's, you know,
I almost feel like... jokes.
Yeah, obviously, but it's like nobody's judging anybody for not doing the roast battles. Nobody cares. 99% of the comics in New York do not do them. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Nobody that
I
works.
Mean, you've actually called me a fag when I turned down a roast before.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, but.
I know. I will pressure you into doing my show.
You have cornered me.
I stand and I yelled.
No, I'm a great producer. And I'm good at booking the show.
Manipulative psychopath.
I did say yes.
Ian never said yes the first time. Not once. And he's battled multiple times. every single time it is a process of breaking him down emotionally.
You bully people into doing it, and then they do it. Then they cry for weeks.
And now for the second thing, then Lewis has learned about relationships.
People are going to have opinions. Let them fucking go. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, don't. Well, I don't understand this whole whining
thing. Letting it go. She's not letting it go.
But honestly, yeah, like, when somebody writes something like that, it makes me feel like I have to pick a side because I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, I want to do these roast battles because they're really fucking fun. But now am I like, oh, shit, on the wrong side of, you know, her story?
It's stupid.
Her story.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. It's just, it's...
Her story.
You, what you're doing is you're kind of... She's the one who's kind of putting this weird, unnecessary pressure on people. There's a million avenues. There's a million ways to fucking get where you want to get. There's no shortcuts in this fucking business. I know, like, three people, okay, who were quote-unquote fast-tracked. Like, three of them. And they're extremely fucking talented. And you know what? The people who fast-tracked them... know what the fuck they're doing, because they ended up really fucking becoming stars and doing great things, right? Mm-hmm. There's really, it doesn't really happen. Where is this fucking quick path? 10 years is fast in this industry. If you are making a living doing stand-up comedy, telling jokes, getting on TV, doing podcasting, doing whatever you're doing, in 10 years, that's like, all right, dude, good for you. You right. fucking, you did. It's not long, it's not short, it's right. not quick. That's how long it's gonna take to be a professional comedian on a level where you're comfortable, you're living. I don't know many people who were doing it before that, right? Nate Bargatze, if Nate Bargatze wasn't married, I don't think before 10 years in, he would have been able to survive at all, period. Big J, no way. Kurt Metzger, no way. None of these guys. Mike Vecchione had a day job up until that time. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys did. So, all right, I'll move on. I don't want to fucking yap about it anymore. I want to talk
about
this.
No, let's go on more. Dig deeper. More?
Let's read her other posts.
Isn't shame on, Micah.
You know, I mean, this is fucking, this is a crazy story.
What?
Shanna, any more coffee as well, babe?
I'll take a coffee too, please.
Yeah, I really need a coffee.
Right, fellas, huh?
Hey.
Forget about it.
It's a bit, Micah. We don't really call our toots.
I'm furious right now. If you guys Micah keep Fox's. Doing this, I'm not going to keep ignoring whoever the fuck that girl is.
Yeah, when you come back, leave your top in the other room.
So the this is like this.
What is this?
How is this not even more of a news story before? Okay.
Shannon.
Thanks,
Shannon.
Thank
you so much. Thank you.
There was this chick. Okay.
On the double coffee, cunt.
Turn this AC down. My goodness.
No, I brought like a jacket.
Fucking Zach.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
So this chick, 20-year-old girl, okay, I guess this happened a couple years ago. She was in a long-distance relationship with a guy.
Oh, God.
And this guy, I guess, got so wrapped up in this relationship that he became suicidal. And she, via text message, basically convinced him to go
kill
through
himself.
With the suicide.
Oh, what did she say?
The next episode is shame on. You know, this, armed fuck.
You guys should be trying to get this girl on the show.
What did she say? I want to. Can we read? What did she say to get him?
I'm
going to
have
himself?
Shannon. I'm going to have Shannon pull it
the
up.
Guy straight up was like,
did
you know,
cripple,
I don't want to do it.
No, here's the deal. All right, so apparently she met this guy on like a family vacation. She was like 17 when she met him. Okay,
yeah, hot.
This fucking, the chicks are heartless. Okay, I don't even think that this chick is a particularly bad person. I think she is the average woman. I really mean this.
Of course.
I think the average fucking chick is not above saying, God, go do it, you fucking faggot. Kill yourself. You won't do it, you little bitch.
Thank you so much.
If she's mad at a guy, I'm telling you right now, man, look. And I don't think she necessarily wanted him to kill himself. I don't know. We got to read all the fucking...
That's because in your entire life, you've only been hanging out with a fucking girl named Roxy from Rockland County.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking like your
You know
demo.
What? This week's Real Ass Dude of the Week is this chick.
Yeah.
Shannon.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude.
Pull her up on the big screen. I want to take a look at her. First of all, cute chick.
I want to be a real ass dude.
Yeah. This is a cute chick here. First of all, that's all right. That's her crying. That's as bad as she looks. Actually,
it's a good litmus test.
Somebody draw those eyebrows on with a Sharpie.
But there she is.
She sees that other picture.
This is when she met him, young 17-year-old girl. this is this kid fucking boating.
What, she show him a mirror?
Jesus. Ian. What? That's our bisexual.
No, because he killed himself.
I got it. So
he's ugly.
So look, so go down. Let's read some of the tweets that she sent him, because she was pretty fucked up. Do you know anything about the story, Micah?
I skimmed it, but yeah. I didn't read the. I knew it was happening.
Yeah, there's not tweets. It was text messages.
Oh, rather text messages. Sorry.
But I mean, I can tell you.
Tell me them. Yeah, read them to us.
Okay, well, I'm going to paraphrase because I just read this article.
Paraphrase it. I love it.
Okay. So basically, the kid was already suicidal. These people, the two kids met each other in Florida on vacation.
Every kid is suicidal. Who was ever 17 years old?
You know, once your dad's died, I mean, what's left to live for?
You don't want to face second grade the next day.
Listen to me.
Every kid is suicidal. You are so sad.
Micah.
I relate.
I bet your kid is. Wait, who'd my dad leave me for?
Listen to me.
Karen Fian?
Listen to me. Every 17-year-old kid, when they're done with their 17-year-old puppy dog love relationship, goes, wah, 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 I'm going to kill myself if you leave me. You tell me you never threaten to kill yourself at the end of a relationship?
No.
Never?
Nah.
You're so.
That's how I exit every relationship. Like, I fake my death. This is my seventh identity.
Of course not. I'm just like, thank you so much for the opportunity, but we've decided to
you future endeavor them.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you don't cry. Have you ever cried at the end of a relationship?
Oh, of course.
Like Mike Kaplan.
Oh, I cried a lot over that. I was losing my apartment. I had no money or job. I was smooching off him the whole time. I was like, fuck.
My name is never going to sound so perfect with another man's name.
you cry, but that doesn't mean like I'm going to end it all without you. It's like grow a pair.
I couldn't imagine you crying.
It depends. I feel sad. I have abandonment issues. I feel bad breaking someone's heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's it. That's a great Patrice bit. Like I watched Elephant in the Room the other day. What a fucking incredible bit where he's like, he's like, this is how much we love women. Okay. This is like a man thing. He's like, I would rather my chick die than break up with her because I don't want to hurt her feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's such a fucking brilliant point where it's like that. Like I feel the exact same
way. But I feel the same. I feel the same way. Like, it's horrendous pain.
Oh, hurting someone is.
Yeah,
who likes that? Nobody likes that.
I've been more sad over me breaking up with someone than anyone ever breaking up with me.
Because you had the when you get dumped, you didn't have a choice. So you just get to move on. But when you did the dumping, you have to live with your decision. It's worse.
I always end up, if I get dumped, I'm a good salesman. So I'm always good at getting back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to dump and then get back in there. All right.
I don't let them dump me. I do the dumping. I really do. I don't think I've really ever been dumped.
Dude, I dated a girl. I dumped her and she said no one's ever dumped me before. Immediately naked, got on MySpace and started scheduling dates in front of me to prove someone else wanted her.
That's really funny.
Oh, that's really embarrassing. Did you sign up for that app?
No, this is in 2005.
Yeah. No, I end up always I've had chicks want to break. I've had chicks who, they'll fight me tooth and nail to get away. And then eventually I let it go. But that's me dumping.
You don't say.
Eventually I go. It's like, you know what? I'm done with you. Go. And it's like I'm holding the leash so tight that when I do it, I just let go and I let them crash headfirst into the next relationship.
I release you.
No. It's never good for the next guy. I'll tell you that much. It's not good for the next guy.
I have a suspicion that if they were with you, they were probably already fucked up to begin with. The previous guy.
They weren't really dealing with a full deck.
Poor next guys.
Yeah, it goes all the way back.
Why does she burst into tears every time I ask for coffee?
So what did she say to this guy, Shannon?
She texted him. He was already suicidal for a while. And by the way, they were dating for a couple of years, but it was mostly through text messages.
And they had only seen each other a few times. This kid deserved to die.
Well,
that's because he was getting dopamine pumped into his head every time he got a text message. So he got addicted to that fucking feeling of just having this thing constantly.
So he's a cokehead, basically.
Pretty much.
Skip was a cokehead. He was a fucking cokehead. Nonstop.
Yeah, the dealer cut him off.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
get addicted to that fucking boop, boop. Hey. Yeah. Hey.
You imagine every time you try to take a bump, it's just a little voice going, kill yourself, faggot.
Yeah.
You won't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's eventually what happens when
only
you stop.
Only a real man will.
But you find another dealer.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead, Channing. Read them more.
While the other supply is going down.
Right. You know eventually that relationship's going to end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why you have a bunch of dealers on right. speed dial.
Yeah.
I've been texting with fatter dealers this entire time.
Really low self-esteem dealers.
So she told him, the time is right and you're ready. Just do it, babe. And then she said,
it sounds encouraging out of context. Yeah.
This bitch is cold.
Yeah. The time is right and you are ready. Maybe he was like, please give
me
this
strength.
He was
trying to get a job. She was, you know, drop.
I want
to
marry this girl, by the way. She is fucking heartless. I love it.
No, she's like a fucking nurse. She's like, it's time to pull the plug. And the family's like, you do it. I can't watch. And she's like, all right. Then she knows this guy's a loser.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, who knows this guy better than
what
the
else did
she
it. Text?
She did it so she could get the attention of everyone feeling bad for her. That's why she did it.
What?
It was all self-motivated.
Oh, so then her boyfriend kills himself and then she gets to reap the benefits.
Yes, immediately after he killed himself, she started tweeting. Mm.
That's the original Facebook likes. The original Facebook sad face was your boyfriend killing himself and then all your friends showing you an outpour, an outpour of emotion.
That's the thing. That's why any time.
Remember when it was
like,
just like the only time you meet the Facebook sad faces, you'd have to show up at somebody's funeral?
Oh,
that was like the now it's just so easy. So easy to show your God, Shannon.
So it's all fake.
You can't think about it. You just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I don't get why you aren't. And then the final thing was
he climbed out of the car. He was letting carbon monoxide into the truck.
And he left the
car. And he gets out. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to do
this. I got a pretty good life.
You know what? I've only met this chick like 3 times. Yeah, what am I doing? I'm fucking crazy.
She didn't even let me touch a titty.
I'm crazy. Let me just read her text one more time. And then she said...
She said, get back in the car.
That is fucking rad.
She said, get back in the fucking car.
Porky gets out of the car. Sir, what day is it? Christmas day, sir.
Holy shit. She said, get back in. And he did.
That's not murder. That's not murder.
It's not. Well, they tried to say it was her First Amendment right to say what the fuck she wants, but the judge really focused on the fact that he got out of the car and she urged him to get back in.
Yeah, she's a sociopath.
Yeah, she's
they called it manslaughter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely
there's
a sociopath.
Not any better words. Yeah. That man was slaughtered.
Yeah.
What she did, they said, was wanton and reckless conduct under the manslaughter statute.
Wanton?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wanton.
Wanton.
Wanton soup. One thumb. I know what you guys
are
thinking
were
right
like,
now.
Oh, I'm not going to magic three my way into racism.
Fuck
your comedy rules.
I think she got what she deserved. She's not a real
ass dude. No, him.
No.
He got what he deserved. He's fucking bitch made, doggy. Let me explain to you something.
Dude,
yes, he
this
is.
This kid had mental issues. He needed help.
What, is she a doctor? Doesn't know that?
She did it so that people would like her more.
Ian, do you think that he was going to make it another few years?
No.
Let her have the victory. It turns out she could be a CEO one day.
Already is.
Yo, she's fucking no joke, dude. Let me tell you something. They give that
CEO
fucking...
CEO of KYS. Kill yourself.
She, that was awful. So, she... What's the girl, the Catch Me Outside chick? That bitch has made a whole fucking life for herself, okay? This chick right now, what's her name, Shannon?
Hold on, sorry.
Pull up her name and buy the domain right now. I mean this. Buy her the domain of her full name right now. I need this. Because we're going to sell it to her when she gets out and she turns into Catch Me Outside chick.
Get back inside, chick.
Oh, fuck. I wish I didn't need him. I wish I didn't need him. He's so good. Oh. Fuck me. So do you think that this chick should go to jail? Honestly, all right, be completely serious about this now. Do you think that she should go to jail?
Yes.
Because she got 2.5 years, and then they said she'll get out in 15 months, as long as she has good behavior.
This is bullshit. This was entrapment. You know, like, they gave
her... Unless her cellmate commits suicide.
Well, yeah, then... Like, what? She got dealt a bum deal. Her boyfriend sucks. He was all suicidal. Like,
she
who
got
knows?
Dealt a bum deal.
Seriously, did the rest of us, like, date somebody who would actually kill themselves? Do you know how fucking mentally ill you have to be to actually kill yourself? It's really hard.
I think we need to see their other text messages. Because if this was, like, the 8th time, he was like, babe, I'm doing it tonight. And she's like, no, no, don't do it.
Yeah, like,
I'm
yeah,
like
what
the
if
nice
it was,
one.
What if it was in a case of...
Or she was like at the movies and didn't want to read his text and yeah. was just like, yeah,
all right,
do it,
babe, kill yourself, faggot. I'm trying to watch Iron Man.
There's only so many times you can say no in a day before you say yes.
Yeah, yeah. But what if this is the boy who cried wolf? Like, what if he's just, this is his thing? Be like, oh, Brandon always says he's going to kill himself. And she's like, I'm not doing it. She's like, and with her friend, she's like, look, I'm just going to fucking continue to do it until he goes to sleep because.
I'm torn. On one hand, it's one less fucking loser in the world. That's, you're right, probably going to do it anyway. But on the other hand, she has something wrong with her if she's like wanting someone to kill themselves so that she can.
Let me say this.
I can empathize. Like, she probably, like, getting all that attention feels good. You know, having people feel sorry for you feels good.
How bad of a guy was that? You know what I'm saying? What if he was a real piece of shit? Like, what if this guy was racist and fucking? What if he was forcing women to roast battle? What if he was like a real piece of shit, right? And this guy's a scumbag.
I think he is a real piece of shit. He should have let her go. Don't drag her down. Don't drag this girl down with him.
I like what Zach said. I want to see the previous text.
You have to
like
see.
The couple
there's
months
more
beforehand.
To the story because what if this guy's really abusive, right? He's a piece of shit. Who knows what the fuck he's done?
They
he had a
never
criminal
met.
Record.
They Shannon, it was all through text
they
message.
Met, they met a few times. Shannon, he had a criminal
in
record,
Florida.
Right?
In Florida.
He had a criminal record.
Did
so,
he?
Yeah, he did. So let me
of
ask
what?
You this, though. I have a crazy ex. I have like a fucking psychotic ex, okay? Like a really crazy bitch
uh-huh.
who's like, I'm talking about like, you know, she's on a podcast on Gas Digital. And no. It's
friends
like,
with Micah.
I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about real deal crazy, right? So I don't even communicate with this chick at all. But she's dangerously fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if she was on the fucking text messages being like, I'm going to kill myself, I don't know that I would discourage her from killing herself. I hate this girl. She's done really fucked up shit to me. Think of the person you hate the most in the world, right? Somebody mm-hmm. who's really hurt you in crazy ways, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm going to kill myself. What if you're like, yeah, fuck you, kill yourself. I got out of the car. Get back in the car, bitch. I hate you.
No, I couldn't.
Hold on, is that now a criminal act because you don't fucking care enough to fucking...
It's different than being fed up and being like, all right, fucking kill yourself. Then meticulously, premeditatedly being like, get
you
back
don't
in.
Know,
you've been trying
Ian,
this.
You don't
Dude,
know.
You didn't read all the texts. I've read about this.
I
she
look for the good in
held
people.
Held his.
I look for the good in people. And I'm telling you right now, this girl, look at that girl. You're going to tell me she's the evil? Impossible.
Yes.
I'm more feminist than anybody in this room. I don't believe that women have the ability to be bad. Beautiful angels.
Dude.
Dead. No, I mean. I'm not being, look, I don't know. You need to have more. Maybe they had more in the case. Is there any more information that we're missing, Shannon?
Leading up to the trial, they like.
Or do we know everything about this? Did we find out every single detail?
What was he wearing?
Did we miss anything else? Because I almost feel like, I don't know. I don't think I could put a girl in jail. I could put an 18-year-old girl, she's 20 now, in jail. I think this is only 15 months as well. It's really not that bad.
No, she should have been like ordered into like court-mandated therapy or like group sessions or whatever, like figure out if she's like psychologically fucked up.
She is.
I think with a crime like that, just having it like attached to your name forever. Like,
you have to make her do like one of those, like she has to now do
suicide hotline
for yeah, that's her thing.
You don't have the girl who says do it
300
run a suicide
hours.
Hotline. Yeah.
300 hours of suicide hotline.
And there's 500 suicides.
She's got the record.
300. Yeah.
She's like, look, you're going to sit there on that phone until you get it right.
She's crushing leads.
Yeah, what if the idea of a suicide hotline was to assist? She like got it wrong. She was like, oh, I thought it was supposed to be getting people to kill themselves. She has a sales chart behind her.
A bunch of gold watches.
She's making outgoing calls.
Yes.
She's like, and you should kill yourself.
This chick is pretty fucking cool. I can't deny that.
So it's not the kid that had a criminal record. It was the kid's mother. The kid's mother used to beat up the dad.
Hey, he's a bitch made legacy.
I mean, come on. Yeah.
Comes from a long line of faggots. I don't know what to tell you. She gets a trophy for ending that bloodline.
His dad was a faggot. His dad's dad was a faggot. His dad's dad. That's crazy. So his mom used to beat up the dad and she was arrested for it.
Yeah, so what they're saying is, I guess on the other side of the trial is they tried to blame the kid's death on the mother instead of on this girl.
How?
It contributes. I mean, come on.
Oh, she's an abusive mom, obviously.
It's compound. I mean, it's everything. It's everything since he was a fucking baby that came to that point where he fucking jumped in a car and let some fucking 17-year-old twit in another state convince him to get back in. This is the point that I'm making, okay? Yes, the girl is maybe negligent, but she's a kid. Yeah. She's a fucking 17-year-old kid. People do stupid fucking retarded shit. I don't know that she's inherently an evil person because she was mad at her fucking boyfriend and probably didn't believe he was going to kill himself.
So then what are you defending? Are you saying she should have gotten off completely?
I don't think you should. You putting her in jail, dude? I don't know. I don't know if you come back from that.
I mean, she will be the coolest girl in jail.
What are we arguing here?
She's like
here?
A superhero. She's like fucking... Yeah. She's like Rogue from the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, what is your power? She's like, no, I can just convince people to kill themselves.
Like Hannibal Lecter. Smig's going to swallow his fucking tongue. Yeah.
I think if you go to jail at a young age, you should be reformed. I think you're totally right. People make mistakes. Your brain isn't even fully developed. So fucking, you know, you can bounce back. But... convincing someone in convincing someone in a manipulative way to kill themselves, I think, is like way more psychologically fucked up than just someone that like commits a crime of passion at fucking 16.
I want to convince you to kill yourself so bad right now.
How did you do that? Remember, like when we were like in high school before text messaging, you had to send one of those like fucking foldy things.
Yeah.
Like, like you pick a color and then you got to pick a number and then you open it up and it says kill yourself.
S U I C I D.
Oh man. Yeah, dude, I don't know. That's the first time I ever heard of something like that, but that's had to have happened before, right? There's
totally.
Got to be.
Of course it's got to have happened.
Can't leave a paper trail. That's it. If you're going to try to convince somebody to kill himself, you got to do it over the phone.
In person.
What a very impersonal way to do it, too. That's how good she was, though. Her pussy must have been crazy. To be able to convince, it's not even like she's on the phone. She's doing it via text message. You can't even get, like, tone. Like, you can't even tell if she's being, I always assume people are being sarcastic via text message. So, like I don't know. I would never know how to read into it. What if that was her thing? She was like, I was being sarcastic. That would have been my defense.
Well, that's how she got off. She thought she was sexting.
Yeah.
Yeah, did he take pictures? Is it like, see, I'm really in the car. Yeah. Is it FaceTime?
Did he call her at all? Like, what a fucking retard. Why didn't he pick up the phone to hear her voice one last time?
I got, you know what? It's...
Yeah, you're right.
I can't say ruin this girl's fucking life because this guy was a fucking puss. You know?
Yeah.
And look how pro-woman I am today, guys. Can somebody please contact that chick's name? Or the chick from Facebook that posted that and let her know how pro-woman I am?
Yeah.
Anything else, Shannon, on this story?
He was also, him and his mother, the kid and his mother, were both on Celexa, and so one of that, which is an antidepressant, and so one of the side effects is possibly suicidal thoughts. So it's something else they tried to blame it on.
Yeah, dude. Is Celexa antidepressants?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know it's such a hack-like stand-up joke to talk about that, but it's like, how is depression a side effect for your depression medication?
Well, it's because it gives you just enough energy to then go through with your plan. That's legitimately the reason why. Because you because you feel good enough.
You feel a little motivated. You're like, but not enough to get a job. But
because
I'll
tell you, like, if you have depression, like, obviously a pill's not going to fix your problems. It's just going to be able to help you fix them better. And if your plan to fix your problem is to kill yourself, you're going to be able to do that better.
Is that really the psychology behind it? Because that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's really fucking interesting. And I understand that. Because it almost becomes like, it takes so much more mental energy and all physical energy to like go through all the steps to be like, all right, I'm going to get my life back in order. And you're like, all right, I have that path, which is this daunting thing. Even if I'm at my normal psychological state, I got this pill and I'm like, oh, that's fucking really daunting. And you go, or suicide, especially if you're not religious.
Right.
You don't believe in God. You don't believe in the afterlife. You're like, I could just fucking end it all. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fucking go down that whole crazy path of fixing my credit. That's nuts.
Oh, I never plan on doing that. How much money I have.
I'm going to throw money at it eventually one day.
You think?
I fucked up, and here's what happened. I had great credit. Great credit when I was with my son's mother because she took care of the bills. The money would come in. I just gave her everything, and I was like a child. I would take an allowance, and I just fucking whatever. And then as soon as I moved out and I'm on my own, my ADD Shannon knows, like it's fucking really bad, and I would just forget to pay my credit card bill. forget to pay it on time, and then like a week would go by, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta pay it. And it happened so many times, and my credits started getting fucked up, and then it made me depressed, and then I just fucking didn't pay it for like 3 months straight, and now my credit just stinks. So I paid it off altogether, like the whole thing, but now it's like, I don't know what I gotta do now. It's a nightmare.
Oh, I mean, you gotta open up one of those, like, you know, poor people credit cards.
$400 credit cards.
Yeah, like you prepay for the card just to build your credit.
And use a check card.
People are like, what the fuck is this EBT? You're like, no, it's my money.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal. All right, Shannon, let's get some questions going.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
You know what fucking time it is, bitches. Real Ask Question segment at the end of every show. The morning of the show, which will be Sunday night for the next 2 months, for the Monday show. And then Wednesday mornings I post to facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy. That's the fan page. Guys, go follow my fan page. You ask your questions there. Or you guys can, I ask them on my Instagram story as well, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. And also, you guys can email me, if you're not a social media person, email me at gomezcomedy.com on the contact page. Just make sure you put Real Ask Questions as the subject line, and we always answer a few. We do it very honestly, guys. We don't fuck around here on the Real Ask Podcast. Thanks, guys, for coming in so far. Great show so far. Great stuff, boys and girls. So, first question, we'll go to the Facebook page first. There we go. Sorry, guys. I usually have my computer here.
Get back inside. Shut How about that?
Here we go. Shannon Lee, consider this, please. We know Danwell Lewis doesn't choose these questions. Hashtag realist producer. Shannon, have you ever chosen a question?
No.
Do you think I'm going to trust Shannon?
You should trust my questions? Shannon. Shannon's the best.
Shannon, you know what? From now on, you get to pick one question. You get to choose the question.
Yay.
One of them. Only one, though. I will never give you the whole thing. In Exodus 31:15, it says, anyone who works on the Sabbath should be put to death. My neighbor is continually working on the Sabbath. Am I obligated to kill him myself? Some advice for this up-and-coming real-ass dude. This is Matthew Polly on Facebook. Yeah, dude. Fucking kill that. I really mean this. Go kill that guy right now.
Text him. Tell him to get back in the car.
Yeah. No, dude. Get up and close and personal.
Yeah?
Shoot him in the face? Do like a chopstick. Some blunt piece of wood where you just keep on jabbing it into his neck. And tell him I told you to do it.
Just for the court proceedings, I think Lewis is joking.
Yeah.
Kill him with a chopstick. Yeah. Let him know all Asians should be going down. Sorry. It's all about Asians. That's really what it's about. No, don't kill him, dude. All that was a joke.
Wink,
it's
wink.
It's too late. He comes back. He paws. He comes back in. Covered in blood.
Okay, now what?
All right, let's get a real one. Come on, man. Let's see. This is a good one. All right, when are you coming to Toronto? Max King wants to know. I got to get my fucking... I gotta get my work visa for Canada. I can't go into Canada right now. I've been arrested. It's the whole thing.
You don't have a work visa? Do you have a passport?
Yeah, I got a passport. I gotta get a work visa for Canada. I'll be back soon. Shut up. Vons Thomas wants to know, what are the cities for the Skankfest tour? Please say Denver. I'll tell you right now, the only cities we have confirmed right now, I'm not even gonna tell you the confirmed cities. We got three cities confirmed. We are looking at Denver. We're not confirmed in Denver yet. Obviously, we're looking wherever there's legal recreational marijuana.
I heard Denver's great.
Take that as a hint. I've never been in Denver. I think I'm just going to go and do a show to scout locations anyway. I'm just going to set up a show to go out there, maybe me and Dave. But we're scouting locations hard over the next month or so. 8 cities, 2018. Skankfest coming to a local city near you. It's going to be fucking crazy, dude. We have a lot of really cool shit planned for Skankfest, so look out for it. Going over to the Instagram story. Let's do it.
Yo, you hard as fuck, Ian.
How would a real ass dude get out of the friend zone? Thanks, huge fan and Gas Digital subscriber. how does one get out of the friend zone? I think once you're friend zoned, and Mikey, you and Shannon could be the ones that could really shed some light on this, because you're women, and women, we all know, first of all, perfect can do no wrong. Okay.
Don't lie.
They're fucking
God's greatest gift.
Yeah, they're delicate flowers, and you shouldn't make fun of them.
All beautiful.
Because they wouldn't be able to handle it, but that's not a problem. That's actually a sign of strength. Somehow. That's what she's saying. What am I supposed to say, Micah? That's what she's saying. That's the concept.
Oh, I don't know.
That's her angle. If you break down the argument, it's women can't handle negative words, and that makes them stronger somehow. Anyway. No. So, how does a man, let's say you have a guy, you're not single. You have a man, but Shannon, you're single kind of, right?
Yeah, no, I'm single.
Okay, good.
Oh,
so you can answer this honestly, though. You have a guy who's a friend, Micah first. You've known him 6 months. This guy, you look at him as a buddy. Like, this guy's a friend. You're not really attracted to him. Attractive dude, you're just not attracted to him. What does he have to do in order to get out of that fucking room that he's put himself in?
Conan.
What does he have to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, usually people don't really improve. So if you're already there, it's too late.
There's a reason. There's a reason you're there. And they say that women decide within the first minute of meeting a man whether or not they want to sleep with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But have you ever changed your mind?
No, not once, no.
No?
Is that true that you decide within the first minute of meeting a man whether or not you would sleep with him?
No, not at all. Like, I like to get to know a person. I like to find out how many Conan credits they have. Yeah. You know, sometimes
you know the best way to do that?
Roast battle. Get all their credits.
Yeah. That's the first thing you do. What shows have you done?
Mm.
Oh, you've done Conan. Cool. All right. Conan the Barbarian, red hair. You start thinking of all the things surrounding that stupid fucking thing they tell you.
What would you do if a guy was friends with you and then he just tried to kiss you?
Oh, you pull away, you say no. Oh, and you kick him in the balls, and you tell everybody you know.
Then you try to rape you. You post it in a female comedy Facebook group.
He assaulted me.
Oh, yeah, immediately. Tell him, can you fucking believe this guy finally tried this shit after 6 months of no signs?
That happened. No, I had a chick who was giving me signs. And, dude, she was
like
deaf.
Like stop sign?
She was deaf. She was... Oh. No, she was giving me signs. Like, she was into it, dude. I'm telling you. And I leaned in, and she fucking side fucking. It was uncomfortable. Like she did the like she was a football player. She put her hand out and fucking.
She stiff armed you,
dude.
Like a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. It was it. Oh.
So
man.
Then, what'd you do?
Just fucking got embarrassed.
You're like I'm joking.
Please.
And then, did you guys stay friends or what?
No, I won't look at this bitch ever again.
No,
she's dead to me.
Hilarious. That's some tease shit. Like, if she really was giving you signs.
You know what she told me?
What?
She said she was into me. We were just in a bar. And it wasn't a crowded bar. It was like we were kind of alone in a corner, but she was like, it was just like weird to like make out with you there. Like, I'm not like that. And I kind of believed her because I'm not wrong. I think typically I'm usually not wrong if I get a vibe from a chick, right? Mm-hmm.
Lewis has the best radar of anyone
like,
I know.
She's like, I would fuck you, but I don't want anyone to know about it.
Yeah. I've had that a lot.
Yeah.
I've had that like a surprising amount. Like, and I'm like, that's fine, but first of all, like, I never kiss and tell. I never talk about who I'm fucking. Nobody has any idea who I fucked. But for some reason, girls, because I think as I do a lot of podcasts, they think I'm just going to go and fucking today on the Realize podcast. Right, this is where I fucked this weekend. That's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. Shannon, what has a guy get out of the friend zone with you? He buys you new tits.
No, it's something.
They call it an upgrade.
It's a difficult thing, and I've never actually experienced it. But what could get close is to see them do something that they're really good at or to kind of like beat up a guy.
Shannon's garbage. Shannon's a piece of shit.
I don't know. I think
first time he handed me that gun to hide, it was such a sense of power.
Oh, don't act like you don't all use this shit to get laid.
What?
Who is hide a gun? I don't know what you do, Zach.
I have the gun out.
Zach swallows it like a pill. No, dude, that doesn't turn you on, Micah. If a dude beats up a guy in front of you.
Depends on the circumstance. Yeah, good.
Okay, wow. Yeah, all right, I gotta use my violence more.
Oh, I think you're doing all right.
Am I doing all right?
I used to get in fights thinking it would impress chicks.
I've never done that to impress a chick.
I mean, no, you can't force it.
Well, no, but I mean, you know.
I had a chick the other day. She was like, she got mad at me because I was.
Babe, that guy in that wheelchair making eyes at me?
No, this chick, she was like, you were going to have Aaron Glazer on your podcast? And I was like, no, not necessarily. I was like, I'd considered it. He reached out to me via email and, you know, he sent me some emails. And I was talking about it and I'd considered having him on. And I was just vocal about it. She got really upset. She was like, you know, eight women isn't enough. And I'm like, well, hold on. I didn't really know anything about it at the time. So I wanted to have a conversation about it. And what attracted me to the conversation is the fact that people are going, you're not allowed to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, no, don't fucking tell me what I'm allowed to talk about. Fuck you. Then I found out a lot more about it. I met people closer to the situation. I found out it's kind of an ugly situation. I don't really want to be involved with it. You know, that's just the truth, right? But this chick, she was like, you know, you don't know what it's like for a woman. Like, you know, dude, I was hanging out with my friend the other night and the guy that raped her, you know, a couple years ago showed up and, you know, there's all these guys there and nobody would remove this guy. And I had to like go and tell him to leave the bar. And I'm going like, who are you talking to? Like, I'm the guy, like if you said, oh yeah, that guy, I have a problem with him. I'm not even going to really ask you any questions. I'm going to be like, do you want me to fucking tell him to leave? Like, I'm just, I get my friend's backs. I'm not like, I don't even need to question you why my friend is asking
if
me.
If I see you go up to confront someone, I'm following you there.
Right, exactly. And I'm not a bully. I'm not going out and trying to fight people like that. No. But typically if one of my female friends says, hey, that guy's a fucking problem, and to somebody who's not a lunatic who like, I'm literally friends with, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm the guy that will go and defend that person. So it's very funny to me that it's like, you know, I kind of get pegged as being a rape apologist or a rape sympathizer.
It's because you're Puerto Rican, and so...
And so I'm probably a rapist.
I mean, you are, right? But, like, it's nice that you are an apologist about it.
Yes. What else? It's step number one. I'm apologizing. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but I mean, it's very funny that I'm pegged this, but I'm literally the first guy that if there was some shit going down and a girl was being assaulted by a dude in a place, I'm the first guy that would step up and stop it from happening.
Right.
So I don't...
Hey, dude in a place, knock it off.
Hey, bro, that's my chick.
take that somewhere else.
Take it outside, not in here.
Lewis already marked her on her back with chalk as she walked in.
It's like a hobo's code for rapists.
Put a bandana on her already.
I've gotten out of the friend zone. The girl that I lost my virginity to, I was majorly in the friend zone with, Kristen Welsh.
What'd you do?
We hung out a lot. We were hanging out. And we were just like listening to Typo Negative one night in her room.
Ooh, Peter Steele.
Yeah. And I had a girlfriend. I was dating this chick, Claire, who went on to become like, she might even be a lesbian now, but like, Vassar, like straight up hardcore feminist, like
hilarious.
Like,
how she got there.
I broke up with her on her birthday for Kristen Welsh because we made out while listening to Typo Negative. And the next day was her birthday. I was supposed to go to her birthday party, and I was like, I'm in love with this shit, Kristen. She was like, because men, here's the thing, men, we can't, at the time, you can't really separate like being friends with somebody and being attracted to them. So this was a girl who was beautiful, who I was really friends with. I'm in love. How else do you describe being in love with somebody? You're really physically attracted to a person and they're your best friend. You think they're so cool.
Right.
All you want to do is hang out with them and tell them about your fucking day, right? There you go. You don't really, you're like, there you go. I'm in love. Now you realize later
but
in life.
Women don't want that to get ruined.
But you can have those relationships. You can have multiple relationships with people and it doesn't have to go there. But as a young 15, 16 year old kid, it's difficult to kind of like do that. So we made out, like Typo Negative's playing. Like, you know, we're just kind of hanging out and, you know, my eyes are closed. Next thing I know, we're just kissing. And I'm like, you know, the fucking goosebumps and the feeling when you really like somebody in middle school or high school. This fucking high school dude. I mean, I like this girl. It was like crazy. And I was like, there's no way I could show up at Claire's birthday party tomorrow with a fucking gift and muscle my way through this party. I'm going to be just all I want to do is spend my day with this girl. So
Claire, there's another woman.
I didn't tell there's another woman. But I could have also just canceled the birthday party and broke up with her a week later. But I just had to tell her that I had to break up with her.
Oh, I had to end it.
So on the morning of her birthday, I was like, I can't make your birthday. She's like, why not? I was like, because I don't think we should see each other anymore. I mean, just ruined this girl's birthday. And now she's a lesbian feminist. And there's no doubt about it. It was because of me. I ate her pussy.
Congratulations.
Too. First pussy I ever ate.
I'm sure that contributed to it as well.
Stunk like garbage.
Oof. Woof. Did she have a bad diet?
You don't even know. Because it's your first, so you're like, I guess this is pussy.
No,
because
you remember, you finger girl the first time, and then you let your friend smell it. And I remember the first time my friend Mike Guerrero fingered the chick Megan, right? And he came back after school, and he's let us all smell it. And everyone had the same reaction.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Someone did that the other night. They go, like, I just fingered the bartender. 100%
the first time you got fingered, four or five dudes smelled your pussy on his fingers. Yep.
No.
Yes.
Remember that time you guys all smelled Karen's uvula?
Oh, God.
Listen to me. I'm telling you right now.
Guess which twin it was.
Listen to me. Yeah, and he came out, and I remember it smelled like garbage. And me and my buddy James, we were just like, he goes, and I remember like having to gag, but still going, oh, it's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah.
Pussy's great.
It still smelled that strong? Rules.
I can't wait. Yeah, dude, it was bad. It was like in his fingernails. He probably got a fungal infection.
Oh, dude, one time I had to wash my hands with toothpaste. It wouldn't come out.
The first girl I ever went down on, I remember as she took her gothic girl black jeans down, she went, sorry, I had a lot of onions today.
Oh, no.
Plus, he stunk like onions. But in my head, because then it was like another 6 months before I hooked up with another girl.
Yeah.
Because I was a fat loser. Still. And then all I could think was, man, pussy stinks like onions.
Yeah. Oh,
and weird. I think I even like tried to like commiserate with my friends who are getting laid regularly. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Pussy
and
smells like onions.
Zach's dick smells like fried breading. So when they fucked, it smelled like onion rings were filling the room.
Sorry, $8 pizza for my whole life.
Oh, shit. It really, dude, fucking stinky pussy. God, well, it's a young girl thing. It's a young girl problem.
Eat like shit.
And they don't know how to take care of it. No. They don't know how to clean it. You got to get a few UTIs before you know how to clean up under the hood. That's really what it comes down to. Dude, I dated chicks who would get fucking like UTIs, whatever it is. Then I dated girls who'd been around the block, and every time we fuck, she's like, oh, I got to go pee. And then just shoot some piss out of her puss. And I was like, okay. And she swallows three fucking cranberry pills. I'm like, this girl fucks. We know this
we
girl.
Know who this is.
We know this girl. Dude, she lifted her leg and shot it out like it was a fucking Nerf ball, her piss. Boom! Just one fucking blast.
It's just like a series of activities, like a Guy Ritchie movie.
Boom! Shing! Hum! Hum! Dring! Breakfast! God damn it. All right, we're going. This has been a fun one. Thank you, guys. Micah Fox. Check out Shame On, available on the Gas Digital Network every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern here. Watch it live, guys. If you're not a subscriber to Gas Digital, gasdigitalnetwork.com, guys. Watch the live streams. 14 shows now on the network and growing. So subscribe now. $6 a month if you use the promo code RAP. What the fuck is that? We're giving it away. All those live streams, all those videos, shows, all the archives, live chat, all that shit, bitches. Gas Digital Network, Real Ass Podcast. Check out Ian on Twitter, iAnimal, Micah Fox on Twitter, Zach is not funny, at Louis J. Gomez, at I am Shannon Lee. That's the fucking show. Cocksucker, suck my dick.
Enjoy every Sam.
Suck my fucking balls, you queen.
Say la vie, adios, good riddance, fuck you.
That's all, folks.